I want you to go with me tonight in your Bible. Glory to God. To what I call one of the great mountain peak paragraphs in all the Word of God. And you that are, let me ask, how many of you in this room are going to Israel in the spring? Raise your hand. I want to ask you this because there's a reason. I'm going to go to a place in the Bible tonight that you'll see. It's one of the most remarkable places I ever seen. And the purpose for that place was to give a clear revelation of who Jesus is. I know, Brother Jeff, you're preaching and teaching on who Jesus is. How many believe the whole world needs to know who Jesus is? And then it gives a revelation of what the church is. And by the way, you cannot separate Jesus from his church. The head from the body. And I'm glad I'm a part of his church tonight. And somebody said, well, I'm a part of the big one. Well, go ask the big one's pastor to come and see you next time you're in the hospital. I'm glad I'm a member of a local independent Baptist church. Amen. Somebody talks about the church. Some people talk about the church like it's some myth or something. He was talking about predominantly in the New Testament when he talked about the church. He was talking about a local assembly. Just like it's in here. Now I want you to go to the passage. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I'm going to give you three truths. I'm going to just go down this passage. Then I'm going to magnify the last part of the message and let you go home. I'm talking tonight on this subject, Jesus and his church. Jesus and his church. He said, upon this rock I built my church. You know, really, I have a real problem today with people. They want to take the word church off their organization. I mean, I've heard everything. Canvas and campus. And he didn't build a campus or a canvas. He came to build the church. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Good preaching, brother. Now, I want to give you this great portion of Scripture. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Now, you people that's going to Israel, look up at me. When we get to the Sea of Galilee area, one of the first places in those 3 days that we're going to go, and here's where it is. Let me tell you where this place is. This is all the way to the tip of northern Israel, and you got Lebanon on one side, and you got Syria on one side, and there was a rock city there. And in that rock city, there was images, and it was a worship to false gods. Jesus didn't go to Jerusalem to get his confection and give the revelation of the church. He went to Caesarea all the way to the northern Israel, the heart of paganism, the heart of filth, and claimed there, and I can imagine him looking, look at all this rock. But I want you to know, up on this rock, I'll build my church. And when I take you up there, some of you are going to see for the first time where the Jordan River starts. It starts coming right out of that rock city and heads all the way down to the Jordan Valley. You'll be there. You'll see that water just coming out of the rock and wonder, how in the world did it go all the way down into that valley? And one day the Lord Jesus himself got baptized in that river Jordan. You're going to get to see that. Lord God, I'm about to get happy to have my own preaching. And that's the location of this mighty wonderful passage. Now let's look at the rest of it. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" It really don't really matter what the crowd thinks. It's who do you think he is? The crowd has a lot of thought about who he is. Somebody help me. I tell you, well, glory. He's no kin to Joseph Smith. He's no angel. He's in the, and how they teach that he's an angelic being. Come on, help me. He's sure not what the Jehovah Witness say. He's a God. No, he's the God. Good preacher. Let me go on before I get ahead of myself here. I'm getting excited. It's a wonderful passage. And they said, some say John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he looked them right dead in their face and said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter, this is Peter's great confession, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter." And put in your notes, that word means a stone or a small stone. "And upon this rock..." And I want you all to know, he wasn't telling Peter, "I'm establishing the church on you." Amen. And by the way, Peter was not the first pope. Right. Somebody help me. You said, "Preacher, you might get a little offensive." He was not the first pope. They tell me popes can't have wives. Well, I've never heard of Peter's wife's name, but I know he did have a mother-in-law. And if you got a mother-in-law and no wife, you're crazy. Somebody help me. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Let me give you three things and I'll magnify the third point. First of all, I want you to notice the inquiry for the profession. He asked them, "Who do men say I am?" And by the way, they listed some wonderful men. John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, or some other prophet. And that's lofty people. But I want all you to know, they were just people. They were given an earthly heritage. But I'll show you the deficiency of their answer. They honored some of the other men, but they failed miserably because they did not recognize his messianic office, nor his deity. Without his messianic office or his deity, Jesus is no more than either one of us or anybody in this room. But ladies and gentlemen, he was far more than a prophet, far more than John the Baptist. He was the very God in the flesh. Then the inquiry about their beliefs. Verse 15. Well, let's just ask you who you say he is. You know, a lot of people let the crowd dictate who Jesus is. Or the government. This government we got today wouldn't know Jesus if he walked up and bumped him right in the chest. By the way, they won't let anybody come there and even pray in the name of Jesus. They let a Muslim. Let me preach a little bit there. If there's ever a time we need to lift up the deity of Christ, we need to lift it up tonight. I want you to know, secondly, I'm moving. The informing of the profession. You know, Peter, how many of y'all love this study about Simon Peter? I want to tell you something about this boy. Sometimes he could get up and say some of the dumbest stuff. How many agree with that? Hey, you know what I nicknamed him? Mr. Shoe in the Mouth. I mean, the guy, he couldn't get out of his way most of the time. But I want to tell you something. Brother Chad, he got this one right. He said, look at it, verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here's what he did in a quick moment. He said, Jesus, number one, you are Messiah. You are the Christ. You're Messiah. I believe in your messianic office. You are the Messiah. But I want to tell you, Jesus, you're more than that. You're God. Tell the Mormons, Jesus is God. Tell the Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is God. Tell the Muslims, Muhammad's not God, and Allah's not God, but Jesus himself was God in the flesh. And by the way, if you don't believe in the deity of Christ, you're hell bound with a hammer down. Cannot go to heaven without believing the deity. Cannot go to heaven without believing his virgin birth. Cannot go to heaven not knowing he is the very Son of God or God the Son. Amen. Boy, I like this. I'm getting to the message here in a moment. Number three. I want you to notice in verse 17 and 9 through 19. Go in your Bible. The instruction after the profession. He made the profession in verse 16. Then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Look at me real close. Your human mind will never accept who Jesus is. The only way you can come to a profession of who he is by a divine revelation by the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about signing a card to make a profession. I'm not saying just saying I'm a Christian. I'm saying you need to get a revelation and fall under conviction and see you're lost. And you have that revelation by the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. And you'll know who Jesus is. Amen. I want to tell you something. Got a whole lot of people in churches today that's never been under that conviction. They just, you want to know why they're bad Christians? You want to know why they don't live right? You want to know why they don't want to come to church on Sunday night or live for God? They never had no change because they've never really been convicted by the Holy Spirit. They have no clue who Jesus is. Oh, they've heard stories about it. But I'm not talking about a story. I'm talking about a real relationship of who He is. And you'll never have a real relationship with who He is until you see Him in the Scripture and get convicted by His Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost shows you and reveals you who He is. You want to know why? You have a problem living a Christian life? Probably because you ain't never been saved. It's not profession, it's possession. My preaching comes from the revelation of Christ. The favor. Look at the favor of this revelation. You know what He said to Peter? Boy, this is awesome stuff. He said, blessed art thou. He said, Peter, you got something here. Then the Father and the revelation. Simon Peter, flesh and blood didn't do this for you. But my Father, which is in heaven. How about that kind of favor? How many can shout the, how many remembers the day you fell under conviction? I'm not talking about some preacher talked you into coming and sign a card. I'm talking about really getting a revelation of who He is. And you have now an intimate relationship with Him because you're connected by that revelation. My Lord. Then I want you to notice, and here's where I'm going to finish. And I'm going to talk about. I've been your pastor 44 years. I've not always been the most popular guy in town. I'm going to tell you why, Brother Rich. I'm not going to let one man or one person, one lady or one teenager or one young person trying to run me and tell me how to run a church. Amen. It just ain't going to happen. Because I know what a church is. Right. This church has maintained its identity for the 44 years I've been your pastor. You say, why? It's because I know what the church is. I'm not the head of the church. I'm not the chief cornerstone of the church. I'm just a lowly little under-shepherd. But I want you to know there's an importance tonight of folks knowing what the church is and who Jesus is. And if they really knew, they'd be real appreciative. You know what some of you need to do? You need to appreciate what you got at Tate Valley Baptist Church instead of gossiping about it. It's wonderful here. Now, is it perfect? No. Because the pastor's not perfect. And the sister's not perfect. And the associates are not perfect. And the deacons are not perfect. And you're not perfect. But I'm serving a perfect God. But we are doing it right here. I'm not getting my orders from anywhere on how to run a church, but headquarters. And headquarters in heaven. I want to tell you something personal. I've lost some friends over this. There's some people turned their back on me and gossiped about me and lied about me because I wouldn't let them have their way because they didn't know what church is. And you ought to thank God for me. You got this tonight because there's been some people that says we will not allow this thing to be lowered to some earthly standard. We're going to keep it up at the heavenly standard. Amen. Amen. Don't you worry about this old man. I'm going to keep this ship running the way it's been running for 44 years. And I'm not letting anybody pressure me from the outside nor from the inside to allow it to be any different. Then I want you to notice, that gets me to my preaching tonight, which I got a few minutes to give you. Is all right tonight?
Amen.
Now look at this revelation that he gives to Peter and the disciples in verse 18. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, small stone. And upon this rock, not Peter, and by the way, Peter wasn't the first pope. Not upon the pope, not upon the Catholic Church, but my church is built on the rock. What he's saying is it's built on me.
Amen.
Go over in 1 Corinthians, it really says it. Christ is that rock. Am I preaching? So we see the foundation of the church is Christ. You know why this church is going to keep going? Because it's not built upon a personality. I know this, that when I die, this thing's going to keep on going. Because I've never asked you to build this thing on me. I've asked you to build this thing on Christ. Now you do need to follow me as I follow Christ. But Richard, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm hoping to be here long enough to upset some of you. I'm going to stay just as long as the Holy Ghost tells me. Say, I haven't lost my fire. I haven't lost my preaching. I haven't lost my vision. I still got it.
Amen.
Well, good preaching. Then see the look at the firmness of the church. I like this. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want y'all to know there ain't no local church ever been destroyed from without. If a church falls, it's always from within. And always because of bad leadership who doesn't exalt Christ. The devil can't destroy this church. Now you could. You could. By not being faithful. By being a complainer. By being a gossiper. You could.
Amen.
But the devil can't. Because
right.
The gates of hell can't prevail against it. That's pretty. How many believe that's firm?
Amen.
And then the favor of the church. Whew. He said, I'm going to give you the keys. What you open up here will be open in heaven. What you lock up here will be locked up in heaven. By the way, the keys were not reserved for Peter only. Peter was only going to be the one that would use the keys to open the door to the Jews and the Gentiles. But guess who got the keys tonight? This church has the keys. We've been given the commission. We've been given the authority by God to operate this assembly under the Bible.
Yes.
And by the Bible.
Amen.
And by the way, this is strong preaching and a lot of weak Christians can't take it. Because they don't want to follow under the authority of the church nor the pastor. They just want to do their own thing. That's why their kids are rebels. Why their family's falling apart. Somebody help me preach. If you can't follow biblical authority and the authority of the local church and the authority of the pastor, you cannot live a Christian life properly.
Amen.
And you know the people that give the most problem in churches is those that do not believe in pastoral authority or the authority of the local church. They think they're the authority. Good preaching, Reverend.
Amen.
Now let me give you five statements in 4 minutes about the church. First of all, the church will not be destroyed because the gates of hell not prevail against it. This degenerated world, TV, movies, entertainment will not destroy it. The religious liberals of our day will not destroy it. Hey, I do know there's some people who left the faith. I know that. I know some people, they moved into the contemporary or Calvinistic or charismatic movement and left the faith. But I want you to know, even though they've done that, it will not destroy the true church.
Amen.
I'll tell you a second thing. The church structure will not be improved. Look at me. Church of Living God has two officers, pastor and deacon. Church of Living God has two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism is first and then the Lord's Supper. The church has a schedule. You meet on the first day of the week. Don't ever say, well, we're here on the Sabbath day. You're not here on the Sabbath day. Today's not the Sabbath day. That ended yesterday at 6 o'clock. That's from 6 o'clock on Friday evening to 6 o'clock on Saturday. But we're not worshiping the Jewish Sabbath. We're worshiping the Lord's Day because that's when it arose. Number three, the church's mission will always be needed. Here's the mission. Preach the whole counsel of God. Teach the precepts of God. And prepare the body. You know what my job is? Is to prepare this body. To serve God. And when you go out that back door, you're going out the mission field. Amen. That's my job, to preach, teach. Tonight I've done a little bit of both of them. I've been a preacher and a teacher. Because that's what you need. You need somebody can take the scriptures and do a proper exegesis of them and exposition of them and show you what thus saith God, line upon line and precept on precept. Tell you what's happened to most pastors in this land. They don't study. They don't pray. They don't prepare. And no wonder they got dead, dried up services. No wonder their members social drink and live like devils. And they got a bunch of people that act like morons. Because they ain't never been on the spout where the glory came out. Whew. Yeah, I am. Fourthly, I'm almost done. The church's purity must be guarded. The doctrines must be guarded. We need to contend for the faith. A year ago, a little more, I had to take a stand on somebody I like. And you know I did. Because I will not permit Calvinism to come in this church. We are not reformers. We're not the Reformed Church. We are the Baptist Church.
Amen.
And I took a stand against somebody I love.
Amen.
By the way, when it comes to truth and friendship, truth always stands. I love my friends. I pray for them. But I've got to tell you tonight, somebody's got to protect the purity of the doctrine. The membership must be guarded. I tell you what. I try to oversee you people. Because I want to guard you against anything that's unpleasant and sinful and ungodly. It's my job. Most preachers don't take that very seriously. But I don't want to let anything in here that will destroy this church. I've been practicing this same thing for over 44 years. It's not going to let happen. You try to do it, you're going out that back door. You try to destroy this church and this doctrine, this truth, this boy right here ain't going to worry about when the door hits you in the rear. That may be a little rough, but I want to tell you what. We cannot permit the doctrine of this church to be damaged in any way. You say, what kind of message is this? This is one of them messages where somebody has to polarize and say, this is the way it is.
Yes.
And then the unity must be guarded. I tell you what, I can't have either. I can't let any member in this church, look at me, cause strife in this church. You might say, well, my kids hadn't always been treated right. Well, let them be a pastor's kid a while. I know a little bit about that. But I tell you what I do with my kids. I love my kids. I strengthen them. They got a lot of attacks when they were kids because of who I was. And your kids, if you're living for God, and you got any leadership ability in this church, they're going to be attacked for what you're standing for. I'm going to tell you what, Jeff, I'm going to guard her. Lastly, and I know some of you are saying, whew, thank God. The church's promises will always be true.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you the promise I hold to, promise of His presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The promise of power. After this, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. You'll have power. I want you to know my preaching would be nothing without God's power.
Amen.
And your life would be nothing without God's power.
Amen.
And then lastly, the promise of His return.
Amen.
You're the body of Christ. But here's the best one. You're the bride of Christ. And He's the bridegroom. And I want all y'all to know, how many look at me right now? How many of you are looking for the Lord to come?
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
And you know who He's coming for?
Amen.
You know who He's coming for?
Yes, sir.
He's not coming for somebody in the lodge.
No. Amen.
He ain't coming for some superficial something. He's coming for His church that's indwelled with His Spirit.
Amen.
I'm going to close it this way. Can I ask y'all to do me a favor? Will some of y'all come up and pray for me? Y'all mind to do that tonight? And pray for this church that we don't have anything ever spoil what we have. And if you're here lost tonight, you come. Our Father, thank You for the liberty I had tonight. God, help me to stand by the truth. And Lord, Chad's going to come in a minute, finish the invitation, help him as he does it. And God, I pray for the protection of this church.